Aren't you glad you're a Christian? Well, I'm sorry we can't be together in person, but at least we can do it electronically. Although I must admit, this feels really weird, preaching in front of my computer. All right, before we begin, let's look at last week's memory verse. If anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me, Mark 8:34. Well, today I want to talk about fear and anxiety, and there's a simple verse that I want us to learn, Psalm 56:3. When I am afraid, I will put my trust in you. Now, I went online and I found a list of the top 15 phobias that people have. And a phobia, of course, it's defined as an irrational or excessive fear of something. And you notice that they're always hard to pronounce because they use Greek and Latin words in their names. And sometimes you find them in a different order, but here's what I found. Number one was arachnophobia, the fear of spiders. And many of you have got that. And ophidiophobia, the fear of snakes. Acrophobia, the fear of heights. We got that word acrobat. Necrophobia, the fear of death or dead things. Cynophobia, the fear of dogs. Claustrophobia, the fear of confined or tight spaces. Cholerophobia, the fear of clowns. Now, apparently, that's common enough to make it into the top 15, and Stephen King probably has something to do with that one. Pediophobia, the fear of dolls or mannequins. They made quite a few horror movies about dolls. Hemophobia, the fear of blood. Glossophobia, the fear of public speaking. Not really what I'm doing at the moment. Nyctophobia, the fear of the darkness. Trypanophobia, the fear of needles. Agoraphobia, the fear of public or open spaces. Aviophobia, the fear of flying, like in an airplane. Mysophobia, a fear of germs. Are you one of those people who wash their hands 48 times a day? Of course, with the coronavirus, that's probably a good idea. Now, just about everyone has got some kind of fear, or you know, at least something that worries them. And there's obviously a healthy type of worry, where you're simply cautious about certain things. I mean, you should definitely be too afraid to walk down a dark alley in a bad part of town, or to run across a busy highway to get your ball, or to wake up your dad before 7 a.m., especially if that's me. But there's also an unhealthy type of worry that drains your energy and keeps you from fulfilling your potential and causes you to feel helpless and alone and robs you of your Christian joy. It could even damage your health. It can cause you problems with your eating and your sleeping and all kinds of things. I've heard that it can even shorten your life. Dr. Charles Mayo, who helped found the Mayo Clinic, said, "Worry affects the circulation, the heart, the glands, the whole nervous system." Proverbs 12:25 says, "Anxiety weighs down the heart." And if you look it up, you discover that the English word worry, it actually comes from an older word that means to strangle. And that's pretty accurate. Worry can certainly strangle our peace of mind and our trust in God and our enjoyment of life. See, because of worrying, some people overeat or bite their fingernails or chew their pencils or pens or pace or stay awake at night or grind their teeth or eat their hair or develop addictions to drugs and alcohol or pick up smoking and so forth. And those really aren't good things. And they can cause us extra problems. Are you a worrier? What do you worry about? Well, think about when you were a kid. Did you worry about your grades? Did you worry about sports? Did you worry about looking dumb? Did you worry about your clothes? Did you worry about bullies? Did you worry about being popular? Did you worry about your weight or your height? Did you worry about getting sick? Did you worry about getting hurt? Did you worry about bugs? Did you worry about tornadoes? Did you worry about getting in a car accident? Did you worry that someone was going to steal your stuff? Did you worry that you wouldn't find a good job when you grew up? Did you worry that you wouldn't find a good person to marry? Did you worry that someone was going to beat your high score in the video game? What did you worry about? If we were to go around and each person in the congregation was to list all the things that they worry about, we would probably be there all week, but we would also probably laugh at each other and ourselves quite a bit, because there are some things that once you say them out loud, you realize how silly it is to be worrying about them, like colorophobia, right? The fear of clowns. Poor Bozo and Binky and Ronald McDonald. Okay, here are some questions I think we should ask ourselves. What are some things I used to be afraid of as a child, but I now laugh at? Could the same be true in the future of what I worry about now? What has fear and worry ever done for me? When has it ever solved any of my problems? Who is bigger, God or my problems? Who loves me and sent his son to die for me and will take me home to live with him for eternity in a place with no more fears? Psalm 56:3. When I am afraid, I will put my trust in you. In Matthew 6:27, Jesus asked, "And who of you by being worried can add a single hour to his life?" What's the point? Anxiety cannot do one positive thing for your situation. Now, again, I've read that it can actually cause you health problems and shorten your life. You can't worry yourself well, but apparently you can worry yourself sick. So, if anxiety can't even lengthen your life a little bit at a single hour, why waste your time with it? Anxiety is really worthless. When we look through the Bible, we discover that having fear and anxiety and worrying is something that God doesn't want for us. It's something that He wants us to work on and to overcome. The Bible, of course, it talks about us using wisdom and having a healthy fear or respect of God, but that's something completely different. Now, these are taken from different contexts where different people are talking or being talked to, but I think they still apply to God's people in any age. Joshua 1:9. Have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous? Do not be afraid, do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. And we find that God repeated the command for Joshua to be strong and courageous 3 times in that chapter. Now think, you're talking to God, and He repeats the same phrase 3 times. I suspect that's going to get your attention. But notice the reason why Joshua should not be afraid. Because God would be with him. Psalm 94:19. When anxiety was great within me, your consolation brought me joy. And consolation has to do with being comforted. Where should we go to receive comfort? Isaiah 41:10. Do not fear, for I am with you. Do not anxiously look about you, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Surely I will help you. Surely I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Again, what's the reason for not having fear and anxiety? Matthew 6:34. Do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will care for itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Why do we waste our precious time and energy worrying about things that we cannot change and may not even come to pass? You see, most of the things that we worry about never happen. And if they do happen, God will help us through them. There's a quote sometimes attributed to Mark Twain that goes something like this: I am an old man and have known a great many troubles in my life, some which actually happened. There's another saying you may have heard: worrying doesn't empty tomorrow of its troubles, it just empties today of its strength. Philippians 4:6-7. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Instead of taking it on ourselves, we give it to God. 2 Timothy 1:7. God has not given us a spirit of timidity, but of power and love and discipline. Some versions say a spirit of timidity or a spirit of fear. We're not to be timid little things full of fear and anxiety. 1 Peter 5, 6, and 7. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you at the proper time, casting all your anxiety on him, because he cares for you. Again, we give it to God. You do what you can, and then you put it in God's hands. God's people are asked to present to God hearts full of strength and courage. We should never allow fear to dictate to us what we're going to do. Fear is one of the greatest stumbling blocks to doing great things, and in our case, great things for God. I'm ashamed, and I'm sure you feel the same, when I think of all the times I allowed fear to keep me from doing something I should have or could have done. God told Joshua to be strong and courageous. When we hear the word strong, we often think of physical strength. Maybe Samson from the book of Judges or one of those guys from the strongman competitions comes to mind. But here, I don't think to be strong is a command to hit the gym and drink protein shakes. God was speaking of something that's found in the inner person, spiritual strength, strength of character. We need strength and courage when the odds are against us. We need strength and courage when doing what is right is not popular. We need strength and courage when facing a crisis. We need strength and courage when shouldering responsibility. See, Jesus never said that being a Christian was going to be a piece of cake or a walk in the park. In fact, he said the opposite. So where do we find this courage? When I am afraid, I will put my trust in you. Now, that doesn't mean that we can just do anything and everything and throw caution to the wind. Now, again, the Bible talks a lot about using wisdom. We need to use wisdom and do what we can, but then we need to give it to God and not worry about it. That's the key. And certainly don't freak out and give up. As it's been said, when you're on a train and it goes through a tunnel and gets dark and scary, you don't throw away your ticket and try to jump off the train. You sit still and trust the engineer. And that's what we need to do in life when we're going through a time that seems dark and scary. When I am afraid, I will put my trust in you.